Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And I'm your host, David Saltzman. Today on Healthcare Happy Hour, we are speaking to Lori Martin. Lori is the longstanding chair of the NABIP Long-Term Care Working Group. And joining us is Steve Kane. Steve is a NABIP member who is with LTCI Partners, leads their firm sales business development efforts, and has been in the LTC space for over 20 years. Welcome, team. How are you doing?
Thanks. Great.
Oh, super. So let's level set. I mean, LTC was like really burning hot for a while, and then a lot of people haven't heard about much of it since then. Is there still a small group long-term care insurance market?
Yes, there definitely is a small group long-term care market now. Traditional long-term care insurance plans, certainly for individuals, for key employees and groups. But what's happened is the group market really has exploded because of what happened in the state of Washington, where a public tax was instituted to pay for a public long-term care insurance plan, and employees could opt out of that if they had their own individual insurance. So you just had a huge number of employers, offering these types of plans to their employees so they could opt out of this payroll tax. And, you know, the market is really expanding, certainly in the group space.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Washington Cares. We'll come back to that in a little bit, but that's just kind of a change in the market. What else has changed in the last 10 years or so? And do you think that long-term care insurance is going to see a resurgence, that it's going to start booming again?
Yeah, I think we're in the midst of a resurgence right now. You know, David, you know, we've had carriers that have suspended sales, exited the marketplace. We've seen rate increases on old stuff. But the one thing that hasn't changed in all of that is that the need for long-term care planning has only grown. And so you have, you know, folks 10 years older that are aging into the issue of long-term care. We've got this big demographic shift that's taking place right now. And folks like me, let's use me as an example, I'm 50, I'm dealing with my 84-year-old mom. And so this issue is real to me now, and it wasn't 10 years ago. And so I just think, you know, the worksite market isn't dead. It's just different, right? We have a different set of carriers. You know, to Lori's point, we have a different set of products, you know, that are available with these worksite life plus long-term care plans. And so I do believe that we're in the midst of a renaissance of the small group long-term care market.
That's great to hear. And we'll talk a little while down the road here about, you know, kind of what NABIP's efforts are to help provide information and whatnot, because it may be one of the hidden gems, you know, of the things that NABIP does. But so you mentioned, we're talking about changes in the market. You mentioned, Lori, the Washington Cares Fund. Is that the only state so far that's doing that? And if so, do you expect are other states looking at it or thinking about it?
Yeah, well, that's the only state that has passed legislation. So California has been looking at it, set up a task force to take a look at that, and came with some ideas about what that would look like if indeed they did pass something similar to Washington. And what you're seeing in other states is, and it's typically blue states that might be a little farther along in this, but honestly, even other states, even predominantly red states, are taking a look at this as far as maybe even setting up some kind of a task force committee, putting money in their budget to look at this, because everybody's in the same boat. Every state's in the same boat where they just cannot afford to pay, have Medicaid pay for all these individuals who did not plan for themselves, do not have the funds to pay for their own extended care event, and are looking to the state to pay for it. Other things, they're looking at other things like, let's provide a tax credit for family caregivers. Michigan is looking at that now. So there's some very creative ideas out there that I think we'll continue to see.
Yeah, if I could add to that, David, I think what you're going to see is more states formally explore these public long-term care programs. Now that the Washington Cares Fund remains intact, right, it didn't go by the wayside, I think that gives some license to some other states to say, hey, you know what? We need to study this. So just last week, actually, the HHS inside of Massachusetts decided to move forward with a study. They hired an actuarial consultant, and they spent dollars and they're going to study this issue. And I think because aging is kind of a bipartisan issue, Medicaid is impacted everywhere, not just red states, but blue states. And so I think more people are going to focus on this. And for us as benefit professionals, it enables us the ability to keep this issue, this big retirement planning issue, in the spotlight. And so, the working group, we just want to make sure that private insurance has a part, in these conversations, that there's a place for us in these conversations. And as a working group, that's what we're doing on the state and federal level.
Lori, is the marketing of those plans, like the Washington Care plans, is the marketing of that involving agents?
I know, and Steve, you could probably answer this better about, I know when before the law was passed, that was a big issue in Washington, that there wasn't enough involvement at all with the insurance industry, but that has changed certainly in California, right?
The program in Washington was really built on the failure of the private marketplace. There wasn't a lot of public and private coordination. And one thing that other states have done is they've made sure that they include us in these conversations as professional advisors. So I think no state is saying we can go at it alone. I think if you're looking at other states like California, where I live, it's four times the size of Washington in terms of working age adults. And they realize that you need the private marketplace to augment any public program. So I think there's going to be a place for us as these conversations go deeper. We just need to make sure we cement that in legislation. And we just need to make sure that the set of solutions or products that we're distributing would qualify for any opt-outs that are available.
And I'm sure that as it goes along, NABIP will keep the membership up to date on which states are considering legislation so that they can go lobby to make sure that their part is included in it. Because as we all know, all of this stuff is very confusing to the average Joe or Jane. And having a licensed agent both gives you protection and an idea, a better way to understand the product, the marketplace, and what suits you, because every family is different. You know, we used to say, even with DI, we used to say, when you've seen one family, you've seen one family. So it's like that. So let's go back to present day. What's selling in the individual market? What kind of products are you seeing? And then we could talk about price after that. But what kinds of things are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is a big increase in short-term care. So these are alternative care plans. They're still long-term care insurance plans, but just for a shorter period of time. And seeing new carriers come into the market with those plans because a lot of individuals just can't health qualify for traditional or even hybrid plans, but they can qualify for these types of plans, and your premium rates are lower. Still, traditional long-term care insurance is still out there, but really you're seeing more of a bigger growth in hybrid plans. And a brand new joint hybrid plan just came out into the market not that long ago. And it's a great plan with some great benefits, flexible payment options. So there's a lot of, I think, a lot of changes and a lot of new products, coming out into the market, which for us as individuals selling these long-term care plans is really exciting.
Yeah, David, I'm
What is a hybrid plan?
A hybrid plan is a life insurance policy with long-term care benefits. So it's offering an extension of those long-term care benefits after you use up your death benefit to pay for your monthly long-term care expenses.
Awesome. Great explanation. Steve, California, oftentimes leads in terms of ideas about how to find a 10th way to take the skin off a cat. Are you seeing different kinds of plans out there or being talked about or being marketed?
No. I would say that's one of the big challenges in our industry is there are a couple of outlier states in which it takes 3+ years to get a product approved. So it continues to be a pain point. We can have innovative product solutions, but the CDI has to approve them. I'm not beating up the CDI. I'm just saying it's the reality that we face out here and in a couple other states. I am encouraged, however, and I've signed NDAs. I'm not at liberty to share which companies, but we're going to see market entrance in 25 for both combination life long-term care plans that Lori was just describing, plus some traditional plans, including one at the worksite. So this is almost like first time in a long time that I feel not just the optimism wired into me as a sales guy, you know, but I see reality is telling me that, hey, this market is poised to grow. The insurance companies recognize that this is a big need, and they've just priced these products or come out with products that they can get the ROI that they want.
That's great. So if I'm a business and I'm looking at my benefit array for next year, should I add this to my list? Is it something that's easy for employees to understand in a market, in a worksite environment? Or should I, what would my planning look like if I wanted to add something like this to my benefit array?
Absolutely. I mean, I say 100%. And you can find worksite plans out there, you know, down to a minimum even of 4 or 5 lives. So it doesn't have to be of a extremely large company. And here's the thing about, I think that's important for anybody that's working with employers, is already, you know, 1 in 4 working Americans is a caregiver. And this is affecting groups. This is affecting the employers. This is affecting productivity and absenteeism. And so this employers see this already. And here's a solution, whether it's on a voluntary basis or ER paid or a base plan or a carve out, there's so many ways you can structure these group plans and be able to provide this additional benefit to your employees.
Yeah. David, I always think about most employers, or hopefully most employers that these benefit professionals are working with, are offering 401ks. And I'm one of these nerds that looks at the plan sponsored literature. And I don't care if it's John Hancock, Schwab, T. Rowe Price, Fidelity, you name it. In all of that literature, it says your biggest expense in retirement is healthcare. That's the biggest risk that you face. And if you narrow it down even further, it's long-term care. So when I think of, should a benefit broker, you know, offer this to clients, the answer is, well, are you offering a 401k, or does the employer offer a 401k? Are people contributing to that 401k? Then we should talk to these folks about protecting the integrity of those plans, protecting their lifestyles from a long-term care event.
Well, and it's even more important now. I mean, a lot of the stuff that 10 years ago used to kill us doesn't, but it does lay us up.
Right.
So, you know, you've got the exposure has actually been broadened in some ways.
And I have to add, one of the most significant benefits in the group long-term care plans is guaranteed issue. So for individuals who can't find traditional long-term care insurance plans, a hybrid plan, they just can't qualify. You can get this plan and have health issues and still get a really good coverage for that extended care event that might happen in the future. That is a fantastic benefit. And they're portable. You leave employment, you take it with you at the same price.
Do you find both guarantee issue and guarantee to issue among the offerings that are out there in the marketplace?
There's either GI or SI. It's not like guaranteed to like disability, but you know, it's going to vary on the size of the employer, and just might be a minimum participation requirement from those employers. But to Lori's point, you could go down low, you know, if you're working in the small group marketplace, and in the individual market, and again, retail individual long-term care, there's great value in the traditional coverage, in the hybrid coverage. You're probably going to be able to get more benefit than you would at the worksite. However, there's underwriting. And we're looking industry-wide between a 15 and 25% decline rates, depending on how old you are. And you compare that versus GI and SI. I know what I like.
Hmm. Are there any tax implications to these worksite plans?
No. I mean, you're paying with after-tax dollars. And so the benefits are going to be tax-free. Some of these products have tax-qualified long-term care riders, and that means it's always going to be tax-free. It really just depends on the product. Some of these combination life long-term care products have riders that are chronic illness or accelerated death benefit riders. Some are tax-qualified riders. So, but the bottom line is the benefit payout on the long-term care side, on the death benefit side, is always tax-free.
One of you said, I think earlier on, that some of the benefit periods are, did I understand correctly, that they're starting to shorten up a little bit, that they're not, you're not seeing as much kind of like lifetime stuff, or did I misunderstand?
Well, certainly in the traditional hybrid space, benefit periods are not lifetime anymore. You know, you see that on older plans. but none of the new plans that are coming out. And you know, traditional those retail long-term care products, they're not inexpensive. So people really can't afford to do lifetime as well.
Like a
premium rate.
I think it's for our industry, there is one carrier that offers, or a couple carriers that offer unlimited or lifetime benefits. Yeah. But for our industry, I think it was a good thing from a pricing stability standpoint. It reduced some of the risk in the marketplace. And so what we're finding a lot of times now is that people are employing hedging strategies. You know, what they're doing is they're buying something versus nothing. And, you know, if you provided a benefit to me, if I, of 70, 80%, 60% of my total long-term care costs, I'm still happy.
Sure. And that's, you know, important. I mean, I remember when the product kind of first hit the market in large measure, the offshoot of the inability to price as effectively as they might like caused a lot of consolidations and carriers coming in and out of the market. Has that settled down for the most part?
Yes. Yeah. It's a small concentrated market, but it's stable. And in fact, in the individual retail long-term care market, we've had carriers for the last 10 plus years that have not had rate increases. So I think they've learned from their own mistakes, from others' mistakes in terms of the pricing. I believe they've even priced it, you know, extra conservatively to remove some of the pain that might come one day.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always hard with products that have a tail and a tail that's uncertain. So it's you know, it's challenging, but that's why God created actuaries and keeps them busy and telling actuary jokes to each other or whatever it is that they do in their spare time. So let's talk a little bit and kind of wrap up about, you know, Lori, you and I talk about this off air a little bit. NABIP does a lot of things that maybe not everybody knows about. So what is NABIP doing, for example, to keep financing of long-term care front and center for legislators, both at the state and the federal level?
We are reaching out. We go to the CAPCON every year and always have a meeting with somebody at the Senate Aging Committee, Special Committee on Aging, and that's good, and it gives us a presence there. But now, honestly, we're looking at having relationships with those individuals who have actually sponsored bills. You know, looking at legislation. Specific legislation to help with this caregiving crisis nationally. And on a state level, again, a lot of this is just education and reaching out to individual chapters about long-term care. This is something that you and your client should be thinking about. Here's an education about what's available out in the marketplace. So, you know, we're really expecting to do some good things in 2025.
If a local wanted to bring somebody in electronically to speak about this, is that something that they would contact the group, the long-term care working group for?
We all do a lot of that. All of the group working group members do that. It's easy for us to conduct a web-based or virtual training session. And really, what I find is that most of the benefit professionals that are in attendance, you know, kind of thought that the market was over. Right. They kind of thought that there wasn't options, and they're pleasantly surprised to hear that there are, that they're stable, and that this side of the business is growing.
And since you were nice enough to throw me the softball, you know, we have loads of members who do loads of work all across the board, and we always like to mention them. Lori, who are the other members of the long-term care working group with you?
Sure. Well, of course, there's Steve and Dawn Horn, Lynn Lewis, Scott Olson, Maxwell Schmitz, and Tom Wright. So those are our committee members. We just have a fantastic committee. And, you know, everybody's on the same page about providing that education to NABIP members. And then also, especially in this environment, you know, getting on top of and keeping in front of people to let them know what's happening in your state. So we're going to put a big map on the LTC portal on the website, and it's going to have just a grid of, or colors in of states and where they're doing, what they're doing, what they think we're going to be doing in the future and what they're doing now. So that should help.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, everybody on these committees busts their butt. They're super busy people to start with, and then they get engaged with this, but they have a passion for it. So we always like to name the folks who are out there working so hard for all the rest of us who just sit on our duffs and sell products occasionally. So that's a great place to end our conversation. Lori Martin, again, the chair of the NABIB Long-Term Care Working Group, and Steve Kane from LTCI Partners. Folks, thanks so much for a really interesting discussion.
Thank you.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabib.org.